Hello and welcome to The Top Story, a podcast with headlines of the day from our correspondents around the world. I'm Tian Yu. Coming up in this edition, talks on a ceasefire in Gaza appear to have reached a stalemate, with Israel and Hamas disagreeing over demands to end the conflict. Dozens are dead and over 100 people are missing from heavy rains in Brazil's southern state of Rio Grande do Sul. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has begun a visit to France, his first tour to Europe in 5 years. We start with the Middle East. Talks to secure a ceasefire in Gaza appear to have reached a stalemate. Officials from Israel and Hamas have publicly disagreed over demands to end the conflict. Israel says it sees no intention from Hamas to reach a truce. The defense minister says Israel will launch a large-scale operation in Rafah soon. Meanwhile, Hamas has claimed responsibility for a rocket attack on an Israeli military base that reportedly injured 7 people. Media reports say Israel struck Rafah after the Hamas attack. Hamas says its delegation will return to Cairo to deliver the group's final response to Egypt's new proposal for a ceasefire. Martin Lowe reports.
It comes after Israel gave Hamas a deadline. They said, you have 7 days now to agree to a ceasefire or the assault on Rafah goes ahead. Now, as far as we know, the Israeli deal is in 3 parts. It begins with a 6-week ceasefire in return for the release of 33 hostages, all female. If that goes smoothly, there's a second 6-week ceasefire while the remaining live hostages are released and the dead are returned to their families for burial. And if that happens, they're talking about a ceasefire for 12 months. So that is obviously what they're hoping that Hamas will agree to. Hamas, of course, is demanding that the war ends. But this may be the best that they can get, a stoppage for 12 months or so. Here in Israel, there really is truly a huge groundswell of opinion that the hostages should be brought home now, almost at whatever cost. But also there is a significant amount of people who that will not satisfy. A lot of people still want this attack on Rafah to go ahead. They want to see Hamas destroyed. If the Hamas leadership is allowed to escape and go somewhere else, there's a real fear here that they could come back, do it all again, and take more hostages in the future.
That was Martin Lowe on demands from both sides to end the conflict between Hamas and Israel. Al Jazeera's Arabic managing editor says the channel's Arabic coverage of Israel and the Gaza conflict will not be affected by the Netanyahu government's order to shut down its local operations. Israeli authorities say they acted because Al Jazeera threatened national security. AP News director John Gambrell reports from Jerusalem.
Al Jazeera has been operating and doing live shots every hour in East Jerusalem there. Apparently the police went in there and stopped him. This is part of this order that came out from the cabinet. Netanyahu referred to the channel as a mouthpiece for Hamas, that militant group that started the war back on October 7th in this particular time frame. Now, going forward, though, the channel has insisted that it's not a Hamas mouthpiece. It insists that their coverage, both in the West Bank, which has seen hundreds of people killed since the war began, as well as in Gaza Strip, which has seen 34,000 Palestinians killed in that Israeli military offensive, remain critical for the world to understand what's going on in the war. Now, Jazeera has come out with a statement. They say that they're going to move forward with every legal means they can to try to get this order rescinded. Our understanding is that it bars the channel from being able to operate and broadcast from within Israel for the next 45 days. It's unclear if the government would then proceed to extend that. We do know, though, the main cable providers in Israel have yanked Al Jazeera from the airwaves just a short time ago. The website's still available. They're still on streaming platforms here. The Israelis haven't gone after those, but it shows just the wider tensions over Al Jazeera's reporting and the fact that Al Jazeera is funded by Qatar, the government that's been so involved in these mediations with Hamas. It just shows just the ceasefire negotiations just have amplifications and just things going riding out of it beyond which we're still trying to understand, and there still might be more going on as the negotiations go forward.
That was John Gambrell reporting from Jerusalem. To the Americas, the death toll from nonstop rain in Brazil's southern state of Rio Grande do Sul continues to climb. Authorities said on Sunday that at least 78 people have been killed, with many still missing. More than 115,000 people have been displaced. The rains have triggered the worst floods in more than 80 years. Lucrecia Franco reports from Rio de Janeiro.
It is the biggest recorded flood in the history of Brazil's southern state of Rio Grande do Sul, killing dozens and forcing thousands to evacuate their homes. A hydroelectric dam partially collapsed. A bridge swept away, leaving several towns stranded. With boats as the only mode of transportation, residents are desperate to reach dry ground, saying they've never seen anything like what is happening here.
Humans must be doing something to the planet for it to be punishing us like this. I think pollution is happening because this is not normal. It's not natural.
President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva visited the disaster area and promised full support in response to the state governor's request for emergency aid.
We want to offer solidarity to the families and to the people of Rio Grande do Sul, and to reaffirm the federal government and its 37 ministers will be available to help the state.
According to civil defense officials, 281 municipalities have been affected, with over 30,000 people forced to evacuate their homes. Experts say these extreme weather events have been fueled by El Niño conditions that bring warmer sea and air temperatures. Rio de Janeiro registered its hottest day in May in more than 20 years, while São Paulo matched its hottest day ever recorded in May.
That was Lucrecia Franco reporting on the heavy rains in Brazil. The winner of Panama's presidential election has vowed to be pro-investment and pro-business and said the Central American country will honor its debts. Panama's electoral authority declared José Raúl Mulino the winner based on preliminary results. More than 3 million voters went to the polls to choose from 8 candidates. Michelle Beggy has more.
The win was with 35% of the votes. The Electoral Tribunal announced his win, and he received it through a live broadcast and saying that he was receiving this wonderful news and that he is going to work hard for the Panamanian people. We've heard many of the candidates who were running against him concede, congratulate Mulino, and ask that he do the best for Panama. Well, Panamanians that we've spoken to are really hoping for a change in terms of the economic situation here in the country. We need to understand that just 10 years ago, there was a boom here of jobs for the Panamanian people. There was a lot of construction going on with the expansion of the Panama Canal, and that has slowed down. Mulino is promising to bring back more infrastructure projects. He was a former security minister under the former president, Ricardo Martinelli, and he promises a sort of continuation of that presidency. There is a possible expansion of the Panama Canal. We're going to have to see if the tide turns in favor of Panama so that the economy can grow again as it had 10 years ago.
That was Michelle Beggy on the president-elect in Panama and his campaign promises. In Europe, Chinese President Xi Jinping has called on China and Europe to keep making new contributions to world peace and development. The Chinese president met with French President Emmanuel Macron and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen in Paris during a state visit to France. President Xi said China and Europe should stay committed to cooperation and deepen mutual trust for the stable and healthy development of ties. He stressed that China has always regarded its relations with Europe from a strategic and sustainable point of view. President Xi said he hopes China's ties with France and Europe will complement each other and develop together. Upon arrival in the French capital on Sunday, the Chinese president hailed bilateral relations as a model of peaceful coexistence and win-win cooperation between countries with different social systems. French newspaper Le Figaro has carried an article by President Xi Jinping where the president said China will work with France to carry carry forward the spirit that guided the establishment of diplomatic ties and build on past achievements to open new avenues for China-France relations. The two countries are marking 60 years of diplomatic ties this year. France was among the first group of European countries to enjoy China's visa exemption. More than 100,000 French travelers have arrived in China since the beginning of this year. France is also hoping to see an increase in visitors from China this summer. Russ Cullen spoke with tourism insider Olivia Grigory about tourism recovery in the post-COVID era.
France is the most visited country in the world, so it knows a thing or two about tourism. But something countries across the globe experienced together was the impact on tourism of coronavirus containment measures.
It's true that after the period of COVID-19, the world had a tendency to turn in on itself. I think that tourism in many countries suffered a serious blow.
China has been boosting its tourism sector again. It has introduced simplified entry status for some countries in a bid to return to its successful pre-pandemic tourism levels. Some 97 million foreign nationals visited China in 2019, but that number plunged to just 4 million in 2022.
I think the idea of introducing a two-week visa-free period is both a simple and efficient way to show again the attractiveness of the country, both for business travel and also the tourism industry.
The policy move is linked to 2024 being the year of Franco-Chinese tourism and shows the two countries have cultural ties that are just as important as the serious geopolitical points of view discussed at presidential level. France is also hoping for an increase in tourism as it prepares to host the first Olympics since Pyeongchang 2018 not to be impacted by coronavirus restrictions.
That was Ross Cullen in Paris. Finally, in Africa, environmentalists are sounding the alarm over the expansion of gullies in the capital of the Democratic Republic of the Congo due to rapid urbanization. Many of Kinshasa's natural drainage channels have been blocked by structures built across the city, posing a risk to the population when heavy rains fall. Chris Ochamringa has more.
Torrential rains have caused massive soil erosion in the suburbs of Kinshasa over the years. Government records show that the DRC capital has more than 300 gullies. In 2019, 40 people died in Kinshasa after heavy rains caused flooding and landslides.
We are very disappointed about our situation. In 2019, when that disaster happened, the president came here. I think that was during the tenure of Prime Minister Ilunkamba. We had the President, the Prime Minister, and the Speaker of Parliament at this site, but nothing has been done to stop the gully from expanding. We have had to find our own ways to fix it.
Millions of people have moved into the DRC capital over the years and built homes near slopes and other areas in an unplanned manner.
The runoff caused by heavy rains has kept washing away the soil, leaving houses close to the edge.
Kinshasa has become increasingly vulnerable to floods in recent years. In 2022, more than 100 people were killed and several houses destroyed by flash floods. Environmentalists blame it on human activity and climate change.
We're actually talking about the impact of climate change. This erosion here has been caused by rains that were brought about by climate change. When very heavy rain hits this sandy soil, it increases the risk of erosion.
Bertin Mbuya and a team of environmentalists in Kinshasa are running a project of planting bamboo around the city to prevent more gullies being formed.
We came up with a solution that does not only stabilize the soil against erosion, but also enables the bamboo stems to absorb carbon dioxide and fight climate change. A bamboo is a plant that grows very fast. We call it green water. It can grow 1 meter in just 24 hours.
Some local residents have been digging trenches and piling sandbags to prevent the rainwater from forming gullies that will destroy their homes. But that's a temporary solution. Many of these residents living next to gullies are only hoping that heavy rains do not fall in their area because that could lead to deaths and destruction.
That was Chris Ochamringa reporting from Kinshasa. Recapping today's headlines. Talks on a ceasefire in Gaza appear to have reached a stalemate, with Israel and Hamas disagreeing over demands to end the conflict. Dozens are dead and over 100 people are missing from heavy rains in Brazil's southern state of Rio Grande do Sul. And Chinese President Xi Jinping has begun a visit to France, his first tour to Europe in 5 years. And that's it for this edition of The Top Story, a podcast that brings you world headlines every weekday. For more news in politics, business, sports, and culture, you can subscribe to The Beijing Hour, a one-hour podcast news magazine program. We welcome and appreciate all ratings and reviews. I'm Tian Yu. Thank you for listening.